So today's daf in Masechet Yoma, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Vov. And we're holding at the Halakha Mishnah. Dear Kapitan, give it to us.
So the Halakha Mishnah.
Thank you. So now the Kohen Gadol is ready to do his first job in his big day lavan, and he has to be coming bolo etzel paro. So now he comes to the par of the Kohen Gadol, and that's the bepar bezot yavo aron el hakodesh bepar ben bakar. So he comes over to the par, and as we saw in the pasuk, the vehikriv meant that he's supposed to say a vidui. It certainly didn't mean he should actually bring it on the mizbeach, because at the end of the pasuk it says v'shachat. So here we're talking about his first vidui. He comes to his par. And where was his par? His par was standing bein ha'olam la'mizbeach, and it's placed in such a way that it is facing towards the south, and its rear end is facing towards the north, and its actual face is towards the west, which means that we had to bend its head so that it would be looking towards the heichal. The Gemara is going to explain why we do this. The Kohen is standing to the east of it, meaning that his back is facing the entrance, and it's really facing the Mizbeach, which is right behind him. The Kohen is facing towards the west, the same way that he's putting the head of the par to be facing. He puts his two hands and he leans on it, because smicha has to be done, and he puts his two hands on it, and he's mitvadeh. Now, the vidui that the Mishnah has over here is quite confusing to us. And in fact, we're going to see the discussion of the Gemara of what the correct nusach of the vidui is. But the lashon that we have over here is ona Hashem. And when we use the word Hashem, it's a reference to the actual Shem Hashem, the Shem HaMefurash. Now, what that Shem is a big machlokas. The Rambam, the Rosh, many Rishonim learn that it means kipshutai, including the Rashi, and that was that the idea is we should have the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei pronounced in the correct fashion. But it's the Shein Ben Arba Otiot that normally we pronounce Aleph, Dalet, Nun, and so on, because of the fact that the Torah says Le'alem, we darshan Le'olam, Zeshmi Le'olam, is La'alem. But here, in the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohen Gadol uses the actual Shein. But others learn, and this is from the Zman HaGe'enim, that this is a reference also, if you remember the Rabbeinu Bachya and Vayikra says that it's a reference to the Shem Ben Mem Beit Otiyot. This is the Shem of 42 Otiyot, and there are other Shitas as well. Pashtus is that it's a reference to the correct pronunciation of the Shem Hashem as written in the Torah. And here's the question. The order of Viti, Pashati, Chatati, Lefanecha is quite confusing. We're going to discuss what the difference is between Ovein, Pesha, and Chatas, and what that should be Bechayev in terms of the Viti. But in any event, Ani Uveti. So here he's also saying Viti not only on himself, but on his home, that is, on his wife. Ana Hashem, they say after the Shem, Baruch Shem Kvod Bachuto, Leolam Va'ed, all of which will be explained in the Gemara. So now the question is that we are making the assumption that the par can be placed between the ulam and the mizbeach. Now, obviously, since the later on it says that the second vidui, after the second vidui, he would check the par right there and then that would mean that it would be certainly towards the northern part of the mizbeach. Remember that the mizbeach ran north-south. The pnea mizbeach was in the south. The northern side of the mizbeach was where we had the regular place that we did the shechita. We had the taba'ot, and we had the shulchanot there, and so on. So we had between the mizbeach and the wall of the Zorah to the north, that is definitely called al yerech ha-mizbeach tzafona. It's obvious that is the Erech HaMizbeach Tzafona. But what we're saying over here is that we're including, even if it's not literally Al Yerech HaMizbeach, that would mean to say between the Mizbeach and the northern wall, because over here, it might be towards the northern half of the Mizbeach, but it's not between the Mizbeach and the wall. It's between the Mizbeach and the Heichal. So over here, is that also considered to be Tzafon? Obviously, the Mishnah holds it is considered to be Tzafon because he's going to be shechting right there. Who is the Ban D'Omer that says that Bein HaOlam V'LaMizbeach is also called Tzafon? Because we know there certainly is a Shita not like that, as we're about to see. So the author of the Mishnah must be Reb Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, the Tanya. Ezehu Tzafon. What's considered to be Tzafon, according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda? Only from the northern wall of the Mizbeach until the northern wall of the Azora, and Keneged Kol HaMizbeach, meaning the entire northern side of the Mizbeach, all of that is called Tzafon. Divrei Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Now, according to that definition, the Mishnah does not make sense, because how could we have placed the power of the Kohen Gadol between the Mizbeach and the Ulam if the Kohen would be shechting it there and it would not have a din of tzafon? So therefore, we say it's going like Reb Elazar Rabbi Shimon. And Reb Elazar Rabbi Shimon indeed is mosif af bein ha'ulam v'lamizbeach. The area that is to the northern part of the Mizbeach and the northern wall, all of that is also included. Rebbe adds, af makom drisat raglei ha'kohanim, V'af makom drisat raglei Yisrael. Even the area which is the northern half of the Azora, way far away from the Ulam, and it's not in the most Kaddosh place, it's the place where even the Yisrael walk, and they walk in those 11 Amos and so on, all the way up to the door, the entrance of the from the Ezras Noshim into through the Shar Niknor, all the way up to the Shar Niknor, as long as it's in the northern half of the Azora, that is called also the north. So, well, when you said that it's going like Reb Elazar Reb Shimon, did you mean it's going like Reb Elazar Reb Shimon and not according to Rebbe? No, it could be Rebbe too. I mean, even Rebbe, I mean, because, look, consider, what did you think? You think that Rebbe was only saying that the northern part of the Azora towards the east was considered to be chashev to be tzofei? I mean, obviously, if he's ready to add the eastern part, which is less chashev, it's further away from the Beis HaMikdash, Kol Shekein, he's going to agree with Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Shimon that the part that's closer to the Ulam is for sure considered to be a makom chashev, right? So therefore, afilu teima Rebbe. Because, I mean, look, Hashta the Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Mosif, he's ready to add an area even on Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda further away. What, you think that he wasn't going to add in Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon? What kind of weird question was that, that it should not be according to Rebbe? Tosfos explains that there is actually a Havamina. Let's take a look at what we thought. First, the Gemara will explain. The reason I said that I don't think it was going like Rebbe was not because it's not Mosif or Rebbe, Rebbe Shimon, but the reason that we thought that our Mishnah is not like going like Rebbe is because if it were going like Rebbe, so then why would we be putting the animal right up by the Heichal, by the Ulam, between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, if you've got lots of room? Isn't it nicer to keep an animal further away from the Heichal? I mean, you know, animals are very likely to make a mess. It's really not appropriate to be bringing the animal all the way up close to the entranceway to the Beis HaMikdash. So if you held like Rebbe, so then what do we need to put it there for? The Kohen Gadol can say, all the way near Shar Niknor, in the northern half, he can say his vidui, and that would be fine. Why should we bring it all the way up? So that's why we were asking you, did you mean to say it's going only like Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon? Because if it were going like Rebbe, why would we bring it so close? That's what we meant to say. What? That's also stupid. Because, look, I mean, and therefore what? Therefore, it's Elazar Rebbe Shimon. You could have asked the same question. I mean, Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon certainly doesn't say you have to place an animal between the Mizbeach and the Ulam. He said even that area is called Safan. But the main area that's called Safan is the area that's directly to the north of the Mizbeach. So you would have the same question. So why did you think that we would mean that it's going like Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon and not like Rebbe? I mean, you have the same issue. Nukme ben Mizbeach v'lakotel. Elamayit lachlamema. I mean, you would understand yourself. We want the animal to be close to the Heichal. Mishum chulsha de Kohen Gadol. Because look, he has to run in with the dam. It's a tough day for the Kohen Gadol. So because of that, we make it easier for him. And he does the shechita instead of needing to go all across the Azara. We do the shechita near the Azara. So then, fine, that would be true even according to Rebbe. Le Rebbe Nami Mishum Chul Shad HaKohen Gadol. So what indeed was the Hav? I mean, it's pretty obvious, isn't it? That we've got, I mean, a problem, the same exact problem according to Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. So Tosis explains, not really. Because, I mean, what we're talking about over here is an Aveda, not of Shechita. It's an Aveda that starts with this whole Vidui. And that is something that, if you think about it, to do that between the Kotel HaTzfoni of the Mizbeach and the wall, there's really no place. Those places were very busy places, and there was things all along the ground. I mean, we had the Taba'ot over there. We had the Shulchanot over there. We had the things that we would hang the animals on in order to do the Afshata and so on. I mean, this took up all the space, so it's not a good place to put the Kohen Gadol. Okay, so that I understand. You want a special place for the Kohen Gadol to spread out, to say the Vidui. That I understand would be Bein Olam on the Mizbeach. But according to Rebbe, I mean, what would be the reason that we would put it there? And that's what I thought. Now I understand. Okay, you're saying that Lamaisa, the bottom line is that it's more important to be Marchik, the animal, anyway, even according to Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. So then what's the reason? Must be because of Kosher the Kohen Gadol. Good. So then if that's the case, obviously the Mishnah could be going like Rebbe as well. Roshol ledaron upanav lema'arav. Okay, so now, I mean, the question is, how in the world could its head be facing the south if it's facing the west? So how is that possible? Says the Gemara, Eicha Mishkachasla. I mean, how can its face be towards the west? Marav, what do you mean, how? You turn its head, right? All that we're saying is that the head of the animal is towards the south, and the rear of the animal is toward the north, and you're standing on the side of the animal, and you bend its head in order to do smich and vidui. You bend its head so that it's looking at the heichal. So, bo came at Rosho. Well, that's crazy. I mean, why don't we just have it stand facing the heichal? This is a little bit uncomfortable, isn't it, that we're making it, like, pushing its head to the side? Can't we just have it directly between the Mizbeach and the heichal? So just put it that way, the way it's supposed to be. Rabbi, look, it's not really nice, because we're going to have the rear end of the animal facing the Mizbeach, and then have it, like, give a blast at the Mizbeach. That's really not appropriate. So Gizera Shema Yarbitz Galalim, I saw this actually happen on TV once. They had brought this animal up in this live program. A disaster. This horse on the stage of the TV studio. Anyway, so in order to avoid that kind of unpleasant situation, so we have it facing away. Its rear end is away from the Mizbeach, which would have put its head towards the south, and then we move the head to the side. Tana Rabbana. Ketzad Somech. So how exactly is the Kohen Gadol in general, how would, like, one do smicha? If we're talking about kachi kachi, I mean, you have to be betzafon. So how do we do that? Well, I mean, the zevach is omed betzafon, upanav l'marav, so we have it standing towards the, facing the west, and its rear end is towards the east. So that would be the general idea, wherever we've got something that we're going to be doing smicha bor. And the question is exactly whether this means that we always have to do it with the facing north-south, or this is not talking about the case where it's right up, like over here, mipnei chusha v'kohen gadol. Here we're just talking about normally. So normally we don't have to worry about the idea of Chushal Kohen Gadol, obviously. So this would mean we could have the animal just east-west. There's no need for us to do this whole fancy thing. There are some who learns that we do this b'chlal. Asomech omei b'mizrach, and the Kohen who's doing the smicha, so he is facing the west because that's the welcome of the Heichal. And his back is to the east. He puts his hands, miniach shtei yadav ben shtei kronot shel zavach, and he puts his hands between the two horns, and he has to lean down on it. There's not allowed to be a chatzitza between his hands and the actual head of the animal. And then mitvadel chatat, avon chatat, and al hasham, avon hasham. So whatever he's bringing a korban chatas for, that's what he's misvada on. Whatever he's bringing the asham for, that's what he's misvada on. What if he's bringing an oila? A very strange statement here. On an oila, he says, a vidui for the ovein of leket shikha upea umayser ani. It's like, huh? What exactly is that supposed to mean? That what we're going to see is that an oila is brought only for things that otherwise don't have an alternative for us to be mechapra. So because of that, what we're saying is that even these things, which bapashtas are Yisrei Lavim, right? So if they're an Yisrei Lav, then you should get malchus for them. In other words, not to steal the chelek of the ani is an Yisrei. So l'choret does not belong here with an oila. Now that's exactly what the issue is. We understand that for a mitzvah's asei, we're going to use an oila to be mechaper, because the Torah didn't give any kapara other than an oila. And we understand for even for mitzvahs lav hanitakla asay, which has the same din as the mitzvahs asay, be the same halacha. We would also use the oila. But what Rabbi Yossi Aglili is coming to say is that no, you should know that the oila would even be mechaper on the oven of leket shikha upeya. Rashi takes out Meiser Ani, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But over there, basically, if you were over the Isser, and it says lo tilakeit, right? This is gufo what we're talking about now in these parashas. Bekitzirachem et kitziratachem lo tichalepa haset chalikzor. That's an Isser lav. Leket yikitziracha lo tilakeit. That's an Isser lav. So bepashtas, there's no reason why we should use a korban eila, and why in the world would we be saying a vidui and an eila? Says Rabbi Akiva to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, no, what do you mean? We can't use an eila as a kapara for a lav. An eila only comes on a mitzvah saseh, ein ola ba'a, ela alaseh, or on a mitzvah lotaseh, which is nitak laseh, which has the din of a mitzvah saseh. So the Torah says, don't do something, and if you do it, this is what you should do. So like we have the classic idea of Shiluach HaKein, which is over there, the question, even though it's a Shaliach HaShalach HaTaim, Tamanim Tikar, Lo Tikach HaEim Al HaBanim, is the Shiluach HaTikon. But wherever we would have a Tikon for what it is that you did, that's a lot for Nita Klas. Same thing as an Asay. So because of this, Rabbi Akiva disagrees. And he says we would never use a korban oila to be a kapora on leket shikha upeya. So now the question is, why is leket shikha upeya different than every other lav? Subamaika miflege. What's the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili? Omer Rabbi Yirmiyah. Now, before I get to that, I just want to raise an issue to you, which I think is absolutely astounding, and nobody talks about it over here, even though Tosfos touches on it, but he doesn't have a solution. And I do have a solution, and I want to share it with you, and I think it's an absolutely amazing, amazing thing. So the question is whether the Meiser, it says over here, Meiser Ani, is that a correct girsa or not? So notice that in Rashi it says, Avon leket shikha upeya, but it does not say anything about Meiser Ani. Why, says Rashi, does it not say anything about Meiser Ani? Because Meiser Ani does have a kapara. What is that? Because yeshlo vidui. There's a separate vidui that you say on Meiser Ani, because when you do the vidui maasrot, So you say, the gam nitativ la levi, this is my sarisha. And then you say, la yatom va alma almana, this is my sasheni. So the same way that Meiser Rishon is not mentioned over here, why is it not mentioned? Because of the fact that I have a kapara. What's the kapara? The kapara is the vidui. And this is what we're talking about over here. Utilizing the kapara of the vidui, and this is as the Rambam says in Hilchas Teshuva, that basically the vidui is the part of the mitzvah of tshuva which provides you the kapara. And then he says, v'chein, the same din, anybody who's bringing a korban, if he's bringing a korban chatas, he's bringing a korban osham, he says the vidui, and that allows the korban to be mechaper. So it's the vidui somehow that provides that kapara. In the case of vidui masrot, Rashi is saying that the vidui qua vidui is the mechaper, and therefore why would I bring an oila? Since the Torah was miyached, the vidui for those things. Now the obvious question is, which Tosis raises, is that this is absolutely bananas. Because the vidui of Meiser is a vidui of what I did right, not a vidui of what I did wrong, right? So you say the vidui of Meiser, you say, v'gam netativ l'aleviv, and so on and so forth. Be'arti HaKadosh Ben Abayit, I did everything right. Since I did everything right, so now, you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should also. You should do what we did, what we promised. You should do what you promised. What does that have to do with a vidui that is going to be mechaper on not doing it right? So Tosfos points that out. He says, why in the world would Rashi take out the Meiser Ani when at the end of the middle Tosfos, he says, v'od, the vidui da'atam, ha'inu she'asak edin. What does doing Meiser Ani correctly, calling that vidui, is all very nice that you're calling it vidui, but it has nothing to do with the vidui of kapara, because you're saying what you did right and not what you did wrong. Now that is quite amazing. Now essentially, I believe that the meaning of Rashi is that he's basically understanding vidui the same way that the Rambam understands vidui. And that is, what it is that you say in the vidui is irrelevant. That's the pella. The idea of vidui is that vidui is mechaper, and we're going to see in the same way that the Rambam paskins that you have to say ona Hashem. Ona Hashem what? You never say what you're saying ona Hashem about, and therefore the Gemara is going to be asking, what are you saying ona Hashem for, right? There is no specific bakasha that you're saying the ona Hashem. In the second ona Hashem of the vidui that we say, which is, first we say ona Hashem, right? So, chatasi, avisi, whatever, chatu, or avu. Then we say a second ona Hashem, kaper, and so on. So, the Mefarshim explained that the second one is not a problem. Gemara wasn't asking why we say ona Hashem on the second one, because there we're asking for kapara. So we say, ona Hashem, please be mechaper. But why are we saying ona Hashem, I did something wrong? Ona Hashem, I did something wrong? So the point is amazing. The vidui that the Torah tells you to do in terms of the dinim of teshuvah, bringing the, like we have this coming week's parsha, in terms of the hitvadu et chatatam, where over there there's a chiev, the vidui chiev is to say a vidui on what you did wrong. But suppose the Torah gives you a vidui to say on what you did right. Does that mean it's not a vidui? No. It was never the content of the vidui that brought the kapora. It was, as the Rambam says, vidui ze hu vidui dvarim. That's the point. How is the vidui dvarim defined? The way the Pasuk defines it. So that the point of the ona Hashem, the point of the vidui, is the establishment of the means of communication together. It has nothing to do with what I'm saying. I could say what I'm saying without its being a vidui, and then it won't be mechaper. I could say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as part of a normal tefillah, I did X and X. That doesn't make it a vidui. The idea of the vidui is, as the Rambam says, it has to be lifnei Hashem, and a specific purpose of I am about to do a vidui. That's the ona Hashem. The information and telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm so sorry, I did the wrong thing, that is not vidui. That is a tefillah for tshuva. We say those tefillahs all the time. That's not vidui. So when we talk about in every day in the Shemoneh Esrei, we talk about the HaKadosh Baruch Hu who is rotzeh b'tshuva, and then we ask for mechila and slicha. That's not vidui. Even if you say you're banging on your chest and whatever you say, that's still not vidui. Even though you're saying ki chatasi, that's not a vidui according to the Rambam. The Minchas Chinuch doesn't agree to any of this, but I don't think that it's reasonable to try to read what he reads in the Rambam. So the idea over here is that Rashi holds exactly the same thing. What's the difference if you're saying what you did right or if you're saying what you did wrong? That's not your business. Your business is to establish the nature of vidui with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Once you do that, vidui zeh hu vidui dvarim, then that vidui is mechaper. Rashi is taking that for granted. So if the Torah defined the vidui for Meiser to be a description of what you did right, so fine. So you said what you did right. And what if you're lying? So? And what if you're lying in the regular vidui? What if you're lying like we said? What if you're lying in the regular vidui and I'll never do this again? And meanwhile, you've got your fingers crossed behind your back, right? But you're still saying the vidui. So the din of the vidui is still vidui dvarim. This belief that people have that vidui is supposed to be honest, or that vidui dvarim is an iser, doesn't have any basis. Vidui dvarim is the mitzvah. Okay, so in Hilchos Teshuva, we discussed this, why that's true. But this is like an incredible, incredible raya, the way that Rashi is taking for granted. How would I say a vidui on an eila if the Torah already told me what to say when it comes to the vidui of Meiser? Not amazing? It's astonishing. Truly really astonishing. Okay, anyway, I hope some of you enjoyed this at least. And anyway, I had a wonderful, wonderful time realizing that that's what Rashi means. Okay, anyway, Vait.
Joseph brought the Yerushalmi of a gear, that the first time is on the Hashem is supposed to say.
Yeah.
Will that fit into this?
I don't know, but why? It's not a gear here, the Yerushalmi. We have that gear in the Mahasar, so we'll talk about it when we get there, yeah? Talk about it. We haven't begun the
Nesach. I'm just suggesting that following this, that the Ana Hashem is a communication as opposed to Ana Bishem is a request.
But the difference between the first vidui and the second vidui, why would it be between Ana Hashem and Ana Bashem? That's what the Yerushalmi says. It doesn't back up this contention, right? Okay. Anyway, well, it's an off. How many names do you have? Shall we call you throat, or call you liquid, or call you smooth speech? All right. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara. So, what is really the machlokas over here? The machlokas is an amazing machlokas. The question, let me just give you the background so we can understand what's going on over here. Remember that the chiyuv of malchus is learned out from the fact that the Torah says, im bina kot harasha, right next to the parsha of Lo Tachsom Shor B'disho. And from there we learn out that any lav that is similar to Lo Tachsom Shor B'disho is considered to be the model of a lav which you're chayav malchus on. So now the question is, does the iser of Leket Shikra and Peya fit the model? Why the heck not? Well, in Lo Tachsom Shor B'disho, there are not two parts. There's just a simple word, Lo Tachsom Shor B'disho. But in these lavim, there are two parts, because they're always connected with what yes to do and what not to do, right? So, La'ani v'la'zov v'la'ger ta'zov otam. Lo tivtzor, la'ani v'la'ger ta'zov. Lo tichale patza adecha, la'ani v'la'ger ta'zov, and so on, right? Now, obviously, that doesn't mean it's a lav hanitak la'aseh. It's just telling you what to do and what you'll be over if you don't do. It's not telling you, if you stole it, then give it. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. But even though it's not a lav hanitak la'aseh, the question is, does it match the model? That's the question. So let's say we have the classic example with this, where it's clearly impossible to dream that it's some type of tikkun, is where it says, Lo tochlu kol nevela. What should you do with the nevela? La gera shebisharecha titnena, right? Well, that certainly doesn't mean after you ate it, you're supposed to give it to the gera shebisharecha. Obviously. How are you supposed to give it to the gera if you already ate it up? Which means that it's certainly not a lava nitiklase, because there's nothing that you can do here to be mitakein what you did wrong. So that's what we use as the model for, is a nevela similar to the lav dechasima or not? If nevela is considered to be similar to lav dechasima simply because of the fact that it's not a lav anitik lase, so then so is leket shikopeya. But if nevela is not considered to be similar to lav dechasima, why? Because it has something else associated with it, namely give it to the ger, which the lav of chasima doesn't have. And so therefore, look, I can't tell you why, but it's not similar to the model the Torah gave. So then that would mean that nevela does not have malchus, because it's not similar to the lav dechasima where we learn out im binakot harasha. So that's why the Gemara is about to use nevela, which on the surface seems to be a total non sequitur to what we're talking about over here, actually is an excellent model for what we're talking about over here. So therefore, when we say b'maika miflage, so what's about locus between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili? Well, it boils down to the lava of nevela. If you hold that the lava of nevela, is it considered to be a real lava? Rabbi Akiva says, yeah, what do you mean? What's wrong? It's a regular lava. Why wouldn't I be chayav malchus on the eating in a vela? So because of that, same thing is true over here. So why wouldn't I be chayav malchus on stealing the peah, finishing up the peah, or taking up the leket, and so on? I would be over on an isra, regular isra lav. Whereas Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, no, it is not a normal lav. Why? I don't know why. I just know it doesn't match the model. The model doesn't have anything in it about doing things. A lav is what not to do, not what yes to do. And therefore, even though of course it's not a lav anitik lase, and of course it's included in the lavim, but it's not the kind of lav that the Torah says a chiyuv. So if it doesn't have any other chiyuv, what are you going to do being mechaper on it? Vidui. Where did the Torah give you a vidui to say on this? With the carbon eila. So therefore, the eila will be said. That's where Biosekli was going out of his way. I'll bet you're surprised that I tell you you should say on a carbon eila, like a chikupea, right? Ha ha. Think about that. Put it in your pipe and smoke it. And that gets us to understand the machlokas, Rabbi Akiva, and Biosekli. This is very, very straightforward. So according to Rabbi Biosekli, lav malia. It's not considered to be a normal lav. And therefore, you need to find an eila to be machaper on it. Abaya says, not necessarily. Maybe, because I don't think nevela is not really like this. Because by nevela, there's no possible way to see that what it is that you're going to do to give the nevela to the ger could possibly be done after you were over the issur of eating the nevela, right? I mean, that's ridiculous. How could you give it to the ger? But over here, I mean, that's not true. The question is, how do I understand the pasuk of the Le'aniv la'ger ta'azovotam? Is Le'aniv la'ger ta'azovotam, is that telling you up front what to do? So that's what the machlokas is. By nevela, everybody agrees that the lav de nevela is not a the lav de nevela, I mean, is a standard lav, because it can't be a lav anitik lase. The question over here was, maybe la'aniv la'ger, sorry, or by the idea of shikra, whatever these mitzvahs are they mitzvahs of what to do up front, or might they be mitzvahs of what to do in the event that you took it illicitly? I told you not to take peah. Wait, what do you do if you do take the peah? Take it out and give it to the laniv lager tazovotam. So then it would be a lav anitik lase. That's the machlokas. So Rabbi Akiva holds ta'azov means give it and then don't take it. Okay, so then it's a normal lav because it doesn't have any tikkun in a mitzvah saseh, and because of that, it's chayav malchus. If it's chayav malchus, then you don't say it on an oila. Whereas Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, no, it's telling me if you were over, then that's what you should do now. Ashta mashma. And that way the Torah is telling you, fix what you did. If you took the stuff that was supposed to be left for the ani and the ger and the yatom and the almanah, make sure that they get it. Okay, so then it's telling you what to do in the event that you did. So then it means that there is no malchus. So what do I do? If there is no malchus, so then you would utilize, says Rabbi Yossi Aglili, you would utilize the eila. Tana Rabba. Now let's get to the strange order that the Mishnah has which is not like the order in our Machzorim, right? Oh, I wanted to mention to you, by the way, that explains also how in the world we could have a din of Vidoy on Yom HaKippurim. Remember that Vidoy on Yom HaKippurim, according to some, doesn't even say, I'm sorry. Right? All it says is, you know, Ribbono Shel Olam, we really would like to be good little boys, but we got a tough time being good little boys. How about if you make us good little boys? Then we'll be good, you know? So, you know, Ritzoneinu Lasot Ritzoncha, you gave us the Yetzer Hara. I mean, what do you expect from us? This is a vidui? How is this a vidui? But the point is, nobody ever told you the vidui is the content of the vidui. The mitzias of Yom Kippur, because it's the Atzmos Yom Kippur Mechaper, so you need to establish a modality of communication which is appropriate for Yom Kippur. Fine. That's fine. You didn't say any of the things that you're mechuyev to say in the vidui al chet. Whoever told you that there's a vidui al chet on Yom Kippur? Right? This is brilliant. The Rambam is so consistent. This is marvelous. Okay. Anyway, so getting back. Sorry about that. I just forgot to say it. Okay, so we have the funny lashon in the Mishnah. In the Braita, it says like this. It actually turns out that not everybody agrees to what the Mishnah says. So in the Braita, it says, Ketzad mitvadeh, aviti, pashati, chatati. Also, weird order. Says this is the lashon in the pasuk. So what do you want? Vitvada alav et kol avonot bnei Israel. So first comes avin, then comes vet kol pishayim, exactly, and then comes lechol chatotam. Right. So that's exactly what the Kohen Gadol should say. I mean, all I'm doing is I'm patterning it on what the Torah says to do on the Seder Lazazel, word for word. Avin pesha chait. Okay, when Moshe Rabbeinu asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the kapar of Yisrael and the egel, so he says nose avon vafesha v'chata in that order. So it's exactly the same thing. So because of that, undoubtedly that's what the Kohen Gadol should do. Divrei Rabbi Meir. V'chachamim omrim. V'chachamim, they disagree. And they take the order of the Magzor, and they say like this. It doesn't make sense to use this order, because avonot, by definition, mean things that you do on purpose. Elo has a donot. How do I know that? It says beferish. Hikaret ha-nefesh ahi avonaba. Avonaba. What that nefesh set out to do on purpose is in, it's penetrated that nefesh, and he's damaged himself with that. Okay, so that's something that he actually set out to do. Pishaim. Pesha refers to something that you do as an act of pure rebellion. You don't even want to do it. But you're going to teach HaKadosh Baruch Hu a lesson for giving you these fancy mitzvahs. Oh, yeah? I'll but Dafka do the opposite, right? Like a typical teenager. So fine. So those are called miradim. Where do we see that? V'chenu omer. Melech mo'av pashabi. So the Pashabi, it's talking about of Yehoram ben Achav over here, so it says that he rebelled against me. And that was when he wrote to Yehoshaphat and asked him to come fight with him, right? So I want you to help me with Moab. Fine. So you see that he uses the Lashon of Pesha as a rebellion. And it also says, Az tifsha livna ba'etahi. So there it's referring to, also, this is also from Yehoram, but it's not the same Yehoram. This is Yehoram Melech Yehuda. And there he's talking about that Livna went and they went ahead and rebelled against Malchus Yehuda. So why do we need both of them? It's interesting, because some taina that from the first pasuk where Yehoram ben Achav is complaining about the Pesha of Moab, you can't call that Lahachis. In other words, the fact that a country wants to rebel against your control of them, and you're taking taxes, and you're stealing their things, and demanding tribute, why is that a rebellion? It's a rebellion, but it's not a rebellion in the sense that we're using it here. It's not a rebellion in the sense of doing something lahachis. You know, I just want to get away from you. But when it comes to Livna, Livna was not a country that had a king. So if they were Pasha and Yehoram, it meant that they joined up with somebody else, obviously. So they join up with somebody else. That's just lahachis. Well, you want to get away from me? What's better about getting together with somebody else? So there already it's more of a riot. That's just something the Mefarshim say. Anyway, but otherwise we're going to have to explain. So why do we need the extra pasuk of Ustiv Shalivna? Okay, so therefore I've established that Ovain is Mezid. I've established that Pesha is Merida. Now I want to establish that Chatotam refers to Shogeg. Where does it say that? Nefeki Techata Bishkaga, it says Beferish. Techata Bishkaga is Bishogeg. So Chait is Chatoim. So now, let me ask you, I mean, use your brains. What does a person do? He's coming to be Mizvada. So what? First, he's going to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, I've got these really serious things that I did, that I was rebellious and so on. Forgive me the rebellious. And then you're asking, there's things I didn't even realize I did wrong. Forgive me for that too. I mean, that's crazy. Start off with the easy things, you know, and then build yourself up. You know, there's things I didn't mean to do. Okay, fine. All right. Even Pesha? Okay, even Pesha. But you're not going to start with Pesha, right? So therefore, how does it make sense what Rabbi Meir is saying? So, now he's going to go and tell and ask for Vinay on Shagagas? That doesn't make any sense. Therefore, the only logical way to be Mizvada is Kachaya Mitvada. Chatati, Viaviti, Upashati, Lefanecha, Niubeti. We have to change the way in which it says it. V'chein b'Davidu Omer, we find also Psukim say the same thing. Chatonu imavotenu, first chait, then heavinu, then avin, and then hirshanu. Shlomo also uses the same language. It says over there, the lashon chatonu, heavinu, rashanu. Same thing by Daniel. Chatonu, avinu, hirshanu, and at the very end we have moradnu. Okay, fine. So therefore, it makes sense to change the way that the Mishnah says it. So then why, in fact, I mean, Rabbi Meir has a pasuk also, why did Moshe Rabbeinu say, no say avon v'fesha v'chata'a, which seems to be in the wrong order? No, you don't understand what he was saying. He was saying, Omar Moshe v'yakadosh baruch hu ribeinu shel olam, b'sha'a sheYisrael chotim lefanach, they do serious chatoim, and they do teshuva. Take the Zidonos and take the Peshayim, turn them into Chatoim. Make them as if they were done Beshogeg. That's the point. It's not saying the Chata'ah is another one in a list of three. The Chata'ah is instead of. So take Avayin and Pesha, which is the correct order, even going to Chachomim, because the Pesha is the worst one. Okay, so Avayin and Pesha should be Ki Chata'ah. That's the point. Of course, you could have said even better. But remember, there's a big difference between doing tshuva mi'ava, doing tshuva mi'yira. So if you do tshuva mi'yira, so then all of your serious averas, even rebellious ones, are like a shogeg. But if you do tshuva mi'ava, so then your averas become like zichuyot. Okay, so Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to say takadosh baruch hu, maybe the people weren't doing tshuva mitoch ava. Fine, but at the very least, we should be mechaper on the ego, that it should be begetter shkaga. Oh, my rabba, bashbo, my rav, we paskin like the chachonim. Well, obviously we paskin like the chachonim. Sin isn't yochid v'rabim. We always paskin like the rabim. What do I need over here? Rav has to tell me that we paskin like the rov? Yeah, because in this case, look, my other tema, mistabert, I mean a Rebbe Meir, because he brought these good rayas from the way Moshe Rabbeinu said over the Lashon. So maybe, even so, we're going to accept the rather iffy explanation of the Chachamim, that it means it should be like Chatas, it wasn't really listening Chatas, and that's what it means. Note the words, the Kra Demotion, which at this point simply seems to mean the psukim that were brought, which Moshe Rabbeinu had said, right? Okay, so now let's take a look at this. So who the Noch is Kamei de Rabba? So somebody went down in front of Rabbah, and he was there, and he was saying over the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, and he, you know, also had a poem, you know, and he in his poem it said like Rabbi Meir, in which he said first the Avayin Pesha and then the Chet, then the Chet. So Rabbah said to him, "Wait a minute over here, Shavata Rabbanon Vavadatak Rabbi Meir. Why, like, where did you come off of that? Why isn't the halacha like the Rabbanon?" You should have said, Chatas Yavisu Pashati. What are you making up a story for? Omalei, well, I think that Rabbi Meir is right. Kirachsiv is safer or right to the Moshe. It says it in the good book that Moses wrote. What does that mean? He's also bringing a right to the Moshe, right? So the point over here is, it's all very nice. The Chachamim bring very nice rayas. Yeah, from David HaMelech, from Shlomo. I like Moshe better than David and Shlomo, you know? I think he wrote the original. I'm going according to the original. This is very cute. So it says it in the holy book. I follow the holy book. You can go with other books. It's very cute. Tana Rabbana. Okay, so now the question is, how do we understand? And we already, when we learned the Parsha, we already understood that it's obvious, all of the things that we're going to be doing now, we inserted them into the Parsha when we learned them. So, okay, remember the Pasuk, V'kriv Aharon et parachatata shelo, V'chiper ba'ado uva'ad beto. Now, what is that referring to? That's referring to saying vidui. V'chiper ba'ado uva'ad beto means bekaparat dvarim hakatuv medaber. Wait, what do you mean? It says, V'kriv Aharon et parachatata shelo. So doesn't that mean that he shechs it? And now he takes the dam and he sprinkles it. I mean, where'd you get vidui from over there? Hatomer bekaparat dvarim? You say vidui dvarim? That's the kapara? Maybe it means kapara like it always means. Kaparat damim, right? Nah, I'll tell you why. Hareani dan. Look, the lashon over here, it says kapara, right? And it also uses the lashon of kapara by the sa'ir la'azazel, because it says ha'sa'ir asher alav agoral yomad chai lifnei Hashem lechaper alav. So that lashon of lechaper alav, what does it mean over there? Does it mean lechaper alav to shecht the sa'ir la'azazel and to bring its dam? Of course not. The sa'ir la'azazel, there is no avodas adam. We throw it down. So just like over there, what did it mean? Ma kapara amura b'sa'ir has got to be referring to vidui dvorim, because it can't be referring to dam. So therefore, the kapara ha'amura bepar is also referring to dvorim. V'im nafshecha lomar. Now, if you've got something to say about this, and you think I'm wrong, I'll still prove it to you, okay? Because it says afterwards, v'kriv aharon et parachatata shelon, v'chiper Ba'ado va'ad beto. Remember that we have that said twice, right? One of them is v'chiper ba'ado va'ad beto. That's the first time that it mentions his part. Over there, it's referring to his personal bayit. And then the second one is referring to beto, is Beit Aharon, Baruch et Hashem. Okay, that's a reference to Beit Aharon. Now, you tell me what it means over there, okay? The second pasuk, the same part. This is v'krivat parachatat asher v'chiper ba'ado va'ad beto. Does that mean with the blood? Because that would be quite a trick, because immediately after those words, it says, v'shachat et parachatat ha'shelo. So after resorting to chaper, then it says, do the shechita. How exactly did he get the blood before he did the shechita? So obviously, the meaning, v'igriva aron et parachatat ha'shelo, the second one is a reference, it's the same par, and it's a reference to vidui dvarim. Okay, so then the first time he mentions it, even though over there it doesn't talk about Shlita, it's got to be talking about Vidu Dvarim, obviously. Because Adayim lo nishchat apar, didn't even do the Shlita yet. So how could it be a reference to the Dam? I know that's not be silly. Okay, that's all. So it's clear. I said, what you said, I had a Xerishav. I said the par and the sar are the same thing. And then you say, and if you've got something to say, I mean, what could you have to say about Xerishav? I understand. Is it Xerishav or is it not? So my ve'im nafshech alomar. What did that mean, im nafshech alomar? I'll tell you what. Because v'chiteima, look, you're right. We definitely have a gzereshava of kapara to kapara. Let me ask you something. We've got kapara mentioned twice with the sawyer. One with the sawyer that is nichnas lifnim, the sawyer lashem. It also says the lashon of kapara over there. And one with the sawyer amishtaleach. It says, v'chiper ala kodesh mitumot b'nei Yisrael, referring to the dam of the Soyer Lashem. Okay? Now, you're telling me, I mean, I have two korbanos over here. One of them is a part of the Kohen Gadol, and that's b'zot yavo Aaron ala kodesh, b'par ben b'kar l'chata. Then it says, umi eta am, what are you supposed to take from Yisrael? Shnei Sireizim. So which is this of the two Sireizim would you think is more appropriate to learn from to the par? The one that's brought in together with the par and has its dam mixed with the par and doing everything like the par, or the one that's thrown out to some kind of crazy thing out in the desert? And so you have Xereshava. In both cases, it says V'chiper. You tell me what's more normal to you, to learn it out from the Ser Lazazel or to learn it out from the Ser Anasa Bifnim. Both of them, it says V'chiper. Okay? That's what Imnaf Shkalomar means. So I'll tell you, why am I learning it from the Ser Lazazel of all crazy things? Therefore I'm telling you, because the Pasuk is Mechayev you to learn it from the Ser Lazazel. Because it cannot mean the Dam. Why? Because over here there was no dam either. The par wasn't checked yet. And that's the point that I was trying to make to you, that it's clear.